Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Mem Aleph. We are holding on daf Mem Amud Beis at Amar Rabbi Zeira, five lines from the end of the page. Last words on the line are Amar Rabbi Zeira. Today's shir is sponsored once again by Henry Orlinsky, Lezecher Nishmas Milton Kramer, Yechiel Michel Ben Chaim Shner Zalman Halevi, Zuchron Levracha, Neshamash Rabin Aliyah, a continued Aliyah from the Zuchus of our learning. We are holding again on the five lines from the end of the page, and we're going to discuss first is the shear of a talis katan, and what the minimum size is for to be chayiv in tzitzis. Then we're going to have a discussion what happens if you take a larger beged and you fold it in half and you wear it that way, fold it over. So is there any way that it's chayiv in tzitzis as like half the size, meaning where you could put the corner, you could put tzitzis on where the fold is, because that has become your new corners. What if you stitch it? What if you just clip it? What if you don't stitch it at all? So the Gemara is going to discuss that, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of whether tzitzis is a chovas gavra or chovas mana. What if a person isn't wearing tzitzis, he just happens to have a beged of dalal kafas in his closet? Does that require tzitzis? And the Gemara is going to talk about whether a person is allowed to look for ways to avoid the mitzvah of tzitzis. Just never wear a beged of dalal kafas, and then he won't have the mitzvah of tzitzis. And the Gemara is going to discuss whether a beged used for a mace requires tzitzis. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss if you have a talis that's made out of tcheles, what you use for lavan when the talis is made out of, what can be used for lavan if the talis is made out of tcheles, if the entire talis is made out of tcheles. And then we're going to have three machlokos between Rav and Shmuel, the first one relating to tzitzis, that whether you could be matir mi beged le beged, or you're allowed to take strings from one beged and move them over onto a different beged. But then we're going to have two other machlokos between Rav and Shmuel, and what they all have in common is that the Gemara is going to say that normally we paskin like Rav, but in these three machlokos we paskin like Shmuel. Then the Gemara is going to discuss at the very end of the daf how close to the corner of the beged the tzitzis are supposed to be, how many strings you're supposed to have for tzitzis. We just take it for granted that there are four, and when doubled over it's eight, but it's actually machlokas whether it's four or three, and we'll see that Bezat Hashem when we get there. So let's begin. Amar Rabbi Zeira says in Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Nasan Amar Shmuel, Tcheilas Ein Ba Mishum Klayim, that when it comes to Tcheilas and Tzitzis, it's not a problem of shatness, and that's what we were discussing yesterday with the Sadin B'Tzitzis, that even if you have a linen beged and you put Tcheilas in it, it's going to be fine. It's not a problem of shatness, certainly on the Daraisa level, because of Aseh Doch Lo Saseh. And it says Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, in the name of Shmuel, an additional point, va'afilu b'talis p'tura, even if it's a talis p'tura. So my talis p'tura, what do you mean by talis p'tura? Ile medalas v'shiura, if talis p'tura means a talis that has pachos mikshir, va'atanya talis shakatam neskasa bo rosho perubo, va'gadol yotze bo derech harai, chayeves b'tzitzis, that the shear of what's chayev in tzitzis is a talis that covers rosho perubo of a katan, and is a talis that's large enough that a gadol would go out derech harai with such a talis. He wouldn't wear it normally as his regular clothing because it doesn't cover him up enough. Maybe like a guy who wouldn't normally go out in the streets wearing shorts, but he'll go out to take out his garbage wearing shorts. So a beged, you could have a different size beged, a person would go out harai, then a person would go out kavua. So the shear is that it covers rosh of rubu shal katan, and the gadol yotze bo derech harai, so it's chayav es betzitzis. But eina katan mischasa bo rosh of rubo. If it would not cover rosh of rubo of a katan, afal pisha gadol yotze bo harai, even though it is large enough that a gadol would be yotze bo harai, so it's petura, then it's going to be pater from tzitzis. It sounds from the Gemara that gadol yotze bo harai is a smaller shear than mischasa rosh of rubo shal katan. If that's the case, it begs the question why we even mention it, the gadol yotze bo harai. It's really got nothing to do with the gadol yotze bo harai. It's all dependent on whether a katan would be, whether it covers a rosh of rubo of a katan. So the Rishonim discussed this, what exactly the Gemara means by these two separate shurim, and whether they in fact are two separate shurim. But first let's see what the Gemara has to say over here as far as our context. And the same is true as far as Shatnas is concerned. And we said, what does that mean, that the same is true as far as Shatnas is concerned? If you mean to tell me that the same shear is going to be true for the size of a beged that you're going to be chayav for Shatnas in general, that there's no chayav for Shatnas if it's smaller than the size of a beged that covers Rosh of a Ruv Shal Katar and that a Gadol will be Yotzi Ba'arai. No, that can't be true, because we know the Mishnah tells us that there's no Arai B'Klayim. Rashi points out, Kilomar Ein Din Arai B'Klayim Shalf B'Shein a Gadol Yotzi Ba'arai Yesh B'Mishum Klayim Im Ne'arag B'Klayim. Even if it's so tiny that a Gadol would not walk out, even once in a while with such a beged, it's still going to be an Isser of Klayim. There is no minimum shear for the Isser of Shatnes. V'Amram Nachum Reitzok V'Chein Le'inyin Sadin B'Tzitzis. And Rav Nachum Reitzok says, no, it means V'Chein Le'inyin Sadin B'Tzitzis. That's what V'Chein Le'inyin Klayim means. That Tzitzis and a Talis that doesn't have a shear is going to be an Isser of Shatnes. That only when you have a proper shear Talis have you avoided the Isser of Shatnes because of the Asei Do'chalos Asei. But if the Talis is too small, then there's then there's going to be an Isser of Shatnes. So all of this was to ask. We said v'afilu betalis petura, that you're allowed to have shatnas in tzitzis even on a talis petura. So we said, what does talis petura mean? Well, you think it means a talis that's too small? It can't mean a talis that's too small, because over here we have beferish that if the talis is too small, you're not allowed to have klayim. It is a problem to have shatnas in a talis that's too small. Elamai petura, no, you know what talis petura means? Hitilu mutalas, that you put tzitzis on a beged that already has tzitzis, and that's not going to be a problem of shatnas. But didn't Rabbi Zera already tell us this once, that if you put tzitzis on a beggar that already has tzitzis, that it's not going to be a shatnas problem? Did he? Where did Rabbi Zera ever tell us that? He told us something about putting tzitzis on a beggar that already has tzitzis, but it wasn't that. So Rashi points out, chadazimna le'el hitilimutelis ksheira. What he said was that if you were matilimutelis, that those new strings you put on, the second set of strings you put on, are going to be kosher. So much so that even if the first strings get cut off of that beged, it's not a violation of tasav lomanasui. That's what we said at the very end of yesterday's daf. The second set of strings is still going to be kosher. V'kimudin miskashra b'hanach basra'i v'kolshkein b'kamai. And since these second set of strings and certainly the first set of strings are absolutely kosher, you have a pasuk lebasra'i pshita de'in b'mishum klayim da'kula tzitzis mikru. That if any of them were to get cut, it would not be a violation of shatnas on the other ones, because they're all part of the tzitzis. So that's what we're saying, that Rabbi Zera said chadazimna by saying that it's that it's all part of the tzitzis. So once you tell me that it's all part of the tzitzis, then I know that there's not going to be an issur of shatnas. Once you tell me that it could be kosher for the mitzvah, so memela it's not going to be an issur of shatnas. So that's what the Gemara is asking. Why does Rabbi Zera need to tell me both halachos? That the second set of strings put on a beggar that already has a set of strings is considered part of the tzitzis and could be kosher for tzitzis even if the first set of strings get cut, and that the second set of strings could be shatnas? Of course, it can be. They're the same halacha, that it's part of the tzitzis. Says Gemara, chad mechal de chavir ti itmar. He said one in the context of the other. Machlokas Rashi and Tosos, which one was said first in the context of which? But he said one in the context of the other. They both go together. Both of these statements go together. So a couple of important things over here. First of all, we see very clearly that there is a shear for a talitz katan. A person can't just put on whatever size talis katan he wants to put on. When we were discussing yesterday the notion of mesh tzitzis, we spent most of our time discussing the two issues of synthetic material that could be made in a way that's similar to leather, in the sense that it could be made as one large piece, that many of the poskim suggest, from Moshe and others, that would be a problem and would not be chayv in tzitzis. And we discussed the other issue that the Kashglover and others discuss, which is anything anything that has holes in it may not be chayiv in tzitzis because it may not be called a beged. But the other issue that often comes up is that it's that very often they're way too small. They're not the proper shear of tzitzis. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelek Hei Simon Chaf where he says that he that which you've heard that bachrim and yeshivas do not say a bracha on the tzitzis in the morning when they put on the talis katan. Rav Moshe says pashut shu shalo kedin. It's definitely not correct that they don't say a bracha on their tzitzis. Im yesh bo kashir gimel rivei ama mikol tzad levad beis hatzavar. Provided that it has a shear of 3/4 of an ama, both in the front and the back, not counting the hole for the neck. Kedisa mishavrusim mitazayin tzav gandal, because that's the shear of the mitzvah of tzitzis. The different sizes that you have for the minimum shear of tzitzis are just different sizes of an ama, right? There is a machlokas about the gimel, but the mishavur passing is gimel revei on the front, gimel revei on the back. So then you have to discuss how big is an ama actually, so that you can figure out what is 3/4 of an amma. The main bo kashir nichamashein mevarchin says Rav Moshe, and if they're wearing tzitzis as pachas mikashir, then I understand that they're not saying a bracha. Aval tema hu shebnei Torah yilbush talis katan shein mukhayiv betzitzis. But he says it's crazy that bnei Torah would wear a talis katan that's not chayiv in tzitzis. They should obviously be wearing something that is chayiv in tzitzis. And then he quotes what we're going to have later on in today's daf that even if you can say it's not chayiv, so they're not doing anything terrible. Yeah, maybe they're not doing anything terrible, but because it's not chayiv in tzitzis. But nevertheless, you're not being mekayim in the mitzvah, and it's a big deal to be mekayim, to try very hard to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So apparently, this was an old problem that a lot of people were walking around with talis katan that did not have a shear. So in the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, in the very first tshuva, Chelek Aleph Siman Aleph, he tries to be melamed zchus on the minag, you know, the practice that people have of wearing a talis katan that is pachus mikshir, that's smaller than the proper shear. And he points out that it is tzavchu kama gedolim alzeh, that many gedolim already screamed about this, that when people walk around in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, on Shabbos with such tzitzis, it's going to be a violation of carrying because the strings are not being mekayim any mitzvah, and therefore you're just carrying strings that are not a critical part of the baguette. And that's what he spends the first half of the tshuva working on, that maybe it's not a violation of carrying on Shabbos. But then he says that from the Ramah in a tshuva, it sounds that there is a partial mitzvah when you wear a talis katan shein bakshir. A great, great chiddush. The Ramah writes in Tshuvas Ramah, Simon Kuf Yud, that it's good to go with a talis katan pachas mikshir. Better to do that than to not wear a talis katan at all. And Darkei Moshe in Simon Ches, the Ramah writes that talisos akatanim, that people are knowing that not to say a bracha, lis atif betzitzis, like you would on a talis gadol, rather the bracha is al mitzvah tzitzis on a talis katan. Why? You ever wonder why it should be a different bracha? So the Ramah explains in Darkei Moshe that it's because talisos katanim very often don't have the proper shear, and if you were to say the bracha of lis atif betzitzis, it would imply that you're nitzavet to be misatif in this talis, and that you're mekayim the mitzvah with this talis properly. And that's not true. Talis gadol, it's always true because it's always large enough. But a talis katan, it's very often not true. So we make a bracha al mitzvah tzitzis. There is a mitzvah out there called tzitzis. That's what the Rama writes, why the bracha is different. So says the Kashuv Glover, and the Taz, by the way, quotes this Rama. So says the Kashuv Glover, l'chor, it's tamua. How could you be mekayim a mitzvah at all with such a talis katan? And how is there a bracha, birchas hamitzvah, on such a talis katan? Granted, you're saying we're altering the text and making it al mitzvah tzitzis because it's more in about the mitzvah. But you're saying asher kishon mitzvah mitzvanu, it's a birchas hamitzvah. We only say birchas hamitzvah when we're about to be mekayim a mitzvah. So that's what the Kashuv Glover suggests, that maybe you see from that Ramah that there is a partial kiyum mitzvah on a talis katan that's pachus mikashir, and maybe that's matzdig the minhag that people walk around with a talis katan that's pachas mikshir. Better to do that than to not wear a talis katan at all. Now, that's not so pashut, really, because it could be that when the Rama says better to wear a talis katan pachas mikshir than not to wear a talis katan at all, what he means is that since if it's pachas mikshir, it's pater anyway from tzitzis. tzitzis, so it's not going to be a violation of wearing a beged of dalet kanfos without tzitzis. And who knows, maybe what you think is pachas mikshir really is kashir. Maybe it really is the right size. That's the pashas, that you're just playing it safe. And al mitzvah tzitzis, you know, is just sort of, again, you're trying to wear a talis, that's the proper shear, but just in case your talis katan is pachas mikashir, we alter the bracha a little bit to not make it as much sheker, even though it's still really a bracha levatala, not make it sheker. I mean, if you had a tiny talis, that was definitely talis katan, that was definitely pachas mikashir, even the Ramah would tell you not to say a bracha on it, don't say a bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis, because it's not really a kiyum mitzvah, but this is the kashuk lover's chiddush, that maybe even pachas mikashir, there is a mitzvah, and that mitzvah is just a lesser mitzvah than a talis katan, that is the proper shiur. And then we had another issue over here, and that is that we gave two shiurim for the minimum size of a talis. We gave the shiur that covers Rosh of Rubash al katan, and that a gadol is yotzibo derech harai. So there's a significant discussion in the Rishonim what those two shiurim are about. Maria Buav is quoted in the Beis Yosef in Hilchot Tzitzis, that he says that the only real shear that's chayv in Tzitzis is that the beged should be royal chasis bar rosh rubo shel katan. And he says it sounds clearly that way from the Rambam. The Rambam writes the shear of a beged that's chayv in Tzitzis rosh rubo shel katan, and leaves out entirely this idea of godol yotze bo derech harai. So the Rambam also holds that it's dafka that one shear. And says Maria Buav, according to that, you could ask a kasha on the brisa, that we can answer the kasha that we ask, that one could ask on the brisa, that the brisa says that if it's not royal chasas rosh rubash al katan, even though gadol is yotzi bo derech harai, it's going to be pater. Well, why didn't it say it the other way as well? That if it's royal to be mechasas rosh rubash al katan, but a gadol would not be yotzi derech harai, that it's pater mitzitzis? So says Mary Abuv, because that wouldn't be true. The only real shear is whether it's mechasas rosh rubash shel katan. That is the shita of the Maria Buav. Then the Mari Ben Chabib explains that the Bryce is not trying to explain the halachas of sheer beged that's chayiv and tzitzis. If that were the kavanah of the Bryce, then it only would have said royal chaz rosh of rubo shel katan is chayiv and tzitzis. The Bryce is talking about a person who's a gadol, who's wearing a small beged in an arai kind of way, and he wants to know if he's chayiv and tzitzis. So that's why we say that if that beged is royal to be mechas rosh of rubo shel katan, when the gadol wears it derech harai, that's when he's chayiv. Meaning again, along the lines of the chiddush of Maria Buav, that there is only one shear, and whatever else we mention about a gadol yotzei derech harai is not really the ikar over here, but really there's only one shear. Then there are many poskim that assume that there are two conditions for the shear chiv beged tzitzis, that it has to be royal lechasos rosh of rubo shel katan, and that a gadol is yotzi bo derech harai. And if it has a shir l'chas rosh rubash l'katam, but gadol is not yotzi bo derech harai, it would be pater mitzitzis. The Chaznish explains that according to this shita, you'd have to say that everything is talu l'fi amakom v'azman, that there is some that would go with a beggar that's mechas rosh rubash l'katam in a certain time and place, and in other times and places they would never walk out even derech harai in a beggar that's mechas so Rosh of Rubo Shel Katan. So Magen Avraham writes that that's in fact the Shita of the Ramah, because Shulchan Aruch says that Shulchan Aruch only mentions the idea of Rosh of Rubo Shel Katan, like the Maria Buav, like the Rambam, and the Ramah adds Shagadol Yotzi Bo Derech Harai. So what's he adding over there? What he's trying to say is that there's an additional Tanai for the Shir Chiyuv, that if a Gadol would not be Yotzi Derech Harai, even though it's Ro'i L'chasos Rosh of Rubo Shel Katan, it would in fact be Pater Mitzitzis. The problem is, Magen Avraham points out, that in Darkei Moshe, the Ramah agrees with Maria Buav, that there is only one shear. So the Taz disagrees with Magen Avraham's reading of the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch and says, no, the Ramah really also says like the Maria Buav. And when he says the idea of Gadol Yosef Ederech Harai, he's just telling you not to make a mistake, that the Shulchan Aruch means that a katan is chayiv in tzitzis. When you know that the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about a child child wearing tzitzis. No, the Rama says gadol yotze b'darach harai is similar to the size of mechaser rosh v'ruba shel katan, and that's why gadol would be chayiv in tzitzis if he wore such a baguette. So that's a discussion. There's again more shittos and more to discuss, but that's the basics of the discussion about the whether there's one shir over here or two shiurim. Okay, back in the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, about 8-10 lines into the page. Tanur Rabbanan, talis kfula chayavis betzitzis. If you have a folded over talis, so it's going to be chayiv in tzitzis. Rabbi Shimon poter, and Rabbi Shimon says that it's not going to be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says it's going to be poter. Vishavin shim kafla v'tafra shechayavis. And everyone agrees that if you folded it over and then stitched it together, so it's like a double two-ply, I guess, type of a baguette, that's for sure going to be chayiv. Tafra pshita. Of course, if you sewed it together, it's going to be chayiv. That's the new baguette, because that's how begad are made, by sewing. Lo tzricha denakta besichi. No, we're talking about that night you didn't sew it properly. You have something. You have some type of pins that are holding it together. Rabba Rahuna ikla lebe Rava Barav Nachman chazid av mixi talus kful of rami lechuti lavikfela. He saw that he was wearing a talus that was folded over, and he had put tzitzis on the new corners, meaning the corners that were created by the fold. And if shita va'asu chuta v'kamla deresha, and then the beged became unfolded, and the strings were in this odd place. Here he had this beged that was covering him both in the front and the back, and the strings were by his head, which is halfway through the beged, because the beged became unfolded. Amalei, lav haynu knaf, tekos rachman of araisa. You're supposed to put the tzitzis on the knaf. Now they're not on the knaf. This is not the knaf that the Torah says. So asa shadi ichsig limachriti. So he took off that beged, and he put on a different beged, because that beged was not proper way to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. He said, "What, you think you did enough just by removing the beged? It's not a chavas gavru, it's a chavas mana. So even if you just have a beged of dalal kanfos hanging in your closet, you require tzitzis. So you better go put tzitzis on that beged in the proper spot now, not in the middle of the beged, but at the edge of the beged." So the Gemara says, let's bring a raya to this idea that it's chavas talisu and that it's not chavas gavra. We mentioned in yesterday's daf that the Chassidim Arishonim, once they had woven enough of the beged, we said in the Havamina yesterday, once they wove just three atzbos of the beged, they already put on tzitzis. But then we said, no, that would be tasav lamanasui. It means when they got to within three atzbos of where the edge of the beged, the end of the beged was going to be, that's when they put on tzitzis. So it sounds like they put on tzitzis before it was ready to be worn. Why would they put on tzitzis before it was ready to be worn? Why don't you just finish the baguette, then put on the tzitzis, then wear it? So says Mar, no, shiny chasidim to machmir anafshayu. Chasidim and Rishonim are different. They were extra machmir. They were extra machmir on themselves. That's why we emphasize that it's Chassidim Arishonim that did this. So you can't bring a raya from there that it's a chavas mana. They were extra machmir to try to get the tzitzis on as soon as possible. Why? Maybe because they were afraid that if they waited till afterwards, someone might wear the beged before the tzitzis are on. But this was something that was an extra chumrah. But maybe in a chinami, it's only a chavas gavra. It's not a chavas mana. Upliga de malacha. And this is against this idea that it's a chavas mana is against Malacha. Why? The Malacha Ashkel Rav Katina de Michsi Sadina. Malacha found Rav Katina that he was wearing Sadin. Rashi says the lovely tzitzis, meaning he was wearing a garment that didn't have any tzitzis. Why didn't it have any tzitzis? So we learned in yesterday's daf four explanations why the minig in Yerushalayim was that they didn't put tzitzis on Sadin. And Rashi quotes the explanation of because of the Gzera Mishum Ksus Laila, that it would be a violation of Shatness if were a ksus laila, because a ksus laila is part from tzitzis. So I'm like, katina, sadina b'kaita v'savla b'sitva tzitzis shel tcheles matei aleha. If you wear a sadin during the summertime, and you wear a sarvala during the wintertime, a sarvala is a type of beged that doesn't have four corners, Rashi points out. It has rounded corners on two of the corners. So you're never going to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So I'm like, and she said, so what? I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. You know, so, you know, if I'm not a Kohen, I'm not going to be punished for not duchening, you know, so if I'm not wearing a beged adal kanfus, why would I ever get punished? So what's the problem? So Amalei, bizmanti karitcha and shinan. No, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, then he does punish you for failure to put yourself in a position to be chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Well, yam b'shlom chavas gavrahu, hainan m'chayiv delo karami. If you say that it's a chavas gavra, so I understand that he's going to be chayiv for not putting himself in the position. Eliam chavas talishu, halo m'chayiva. But if you say that it's chavas talis, then it doesn't make sense that the person would be punished for not putting himself in a position where he'd be chayiv. Because it's never his personal chiyuv anyway. So Rash says halom mechayva hein talis desad nesavla ma'ich b'lei. Neither of these garments are chayiv in tzitzis, and why would it matter? He was never chayiv in putting tzitzis on these garments. Elamai says Gemara chovas gavra. So what? You're going to say that it's chovas gavra? Nihidu chayve rachmana kimichsi talis bas chiyuva kimichsi talis lav bas chiyuva hum mi chayve rachmana. But still, granted, a gavra is chayiv when he's wearing a beged that has dalet kanfos, but is a gavra chayiv when he's wearing a beged that doesn't have dalet kanfos? No, the criticism was not that you were in technical violation of halacha, but that you're coming up with some sort of eitzah to avoid the mitzvah of tzitzis, and that you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to come up with a chap to get out of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara had said, you know, his initial defense was, anshisu asay. What, does someone get punished for failure to do a mitzvah asay? So Tos points out, yeah, for sure. Meaning, there's no malchus, but of course you're held accountable for failure. Person decides, I'm not going to wear tefillin, I'm not going to eat matzah, I'm not going to take lulav, I'm not going to sit in sukkah. Those are all mitzvahs asay. Yeah, absolutely, you get punished for failure to do mitzvahs asay. So Tosa says, what it means is this specific kind of asay. There are different kinds of mitzvahs asay. There are some asays that you have to do no matter what. I mean, you can't say, I don't have a sukkah, so I'm patur from sukkah. No, make a sukkah, so because you have a chiyuv to make sure. I don't have tefillin. No, buy tefillin. You have an obligation to make sure that you do the mitzvah. Then there are mitzvahs that say that are conditional, that it depends on the situation, that only if you're in a situation where the chiyuv kicks in, only then do you have the mitzvahs that say. So that's what Tosfos Dibur Maslan. Shisu asay ki hai. Do you get punished for an asay like this one? Shein adam chayiv liknos talis hamachuyiv imein lo. Aval asay gamur, but a real full-fledged asay, that's an absolute obligation. Afilu beis shalomata yimakano sa'achetetz inafshav. Let alone the fact that you're punished in Bezen Shalmaila. Even Bezen Shalmata could force you. We're kofina asay. We can give you makas mardus until you agree to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's what Tosa suggests. Now this idea that a person should put himself in a position to fulfill the mitzvah comes up in a number of different contexts. Tosos and Maseches Pesachim and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel in the second Teret says that someone who doesn't try to go out of their way to make sure that they have a talis that they can put tzitzit in is menuda l'shamayim, even though he's not mechuyev bedavar. And quotes the Gemara in Sota Daf Yudal that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael in order to be mekayim the mitzvos hatulios ba'aretz, even though there's no chiyuv to enter Eretz Yisrael in order to be mekayim the mitzvos hatulios ba'aretz, meaning the mitzvos hatulios ba'aretz are if you're there, if you're in Eretz Yisrael. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu so desperately want to go in for? Because he wants the opportunity in order to be able to be mekayim the mitzvos atlis ba'aretz. The Marsham as a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Reish Tes, someone doesn't eat bread and mini targima on Chol HaMoed Sukkos because for whatever reason. So it turns out that he's never chayiv to sit in the sukkah. So does he have to enter the sukkah without achila, meaning he's on some sort of diet or something, that everything he eats, everything he's allowed to eat that's kosher for him on his diet is something that's, that would not require a sukkah. Does he need to go into the sukkah without achila and say a leisha basukkah? So as far as the bracha, the Taz already writes that someone who's fasting a tainis chalom on sukkahs says a bracha on sukkah every time he enters the sukkah not to eat, because mikra then a person has to be mevarich every time he goes into the sukkah. It's just that we try to attach it to a maisa, so we wait till mealtime and that's when we say the bracha on the sukkah, because the achilas pas is the ikr, and that pater is other inyanim of yeshiva sukkah, of just hanging out in the sukkah. So a person who's never going to eat So he goes back to the Ikra Din that he says a bracha each and every time. That's the Chiddush of the Taz. So if a person goes into the Sukkah, he can say a bracha of Leisha B'Sukkah. So does one have an obligation to go into the Sukkah? So says the Marsham, based on our Tosos and the Tosos and Pesachim, you see that you have to go out of your way to try to, you know, a lot of times people will ask a Shaila, can I go on a trip? And I'll go on this this trip, and don't worry, all we're going to have is yogurt or whatever. And that way we're not going to, yeah, but that's not right. Meaning better to go to put yourself in a position where you're going to be able to be Mekayim. The Mitzvah of Sukkah, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has a letter to a youth organization, Eretz Yisrael, wanted to go on a tiyul on Sukkahs with such a thing, where they weren't going to build the Sukkah, but don't worry, we're going to, first of all, we're Holchei Derech, you know, all sorts of, and Rav Aaron said, you know, every businessman in Manhattan drives himself crazy to eat lunch, to find the Sukkah where he's going to be able to eat lunch. You don't think he has a heter also of the Holchei Derech, and he can eat yogurt and all the other things? Of course they have the heter, but this is what Klal Yisrael does. We try our best to do the mitzvah of Sukkah. So he thought it was terrible chinuch. Okay, Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel, Klei Kufsa Chayav Mitzitzis. Even a beggar that stays in your closet is Chayav Mitzitzis. Umode Shmuel Bezakin Shasol Kvodo Shaptura. But Shmuel is moded that if you're making it for Tachrich and for a mace, that's going to be part of Mitzitzis. My time, Ashat Chasaba Amar Rachmana, High Level Chsuya Vida. It's only a beggar that's meant to clothe the person. This obviously is not meant to clothe the person, it's just meant as Tachrich and for a mace. But when we bury the person, we do put tzitzis on him because of loig l'rash. We don't want to be mocking him that he's no longer capable of being mekayim mitzvos. Obviously, once a person is dead, he can't be mekayim mitzvos. That's the same reason that we have a minhag that we tuck our tzitzis in when we're in a cemetery, because it's a violation of loig l'rash. It's a way of showing, look, we're able to be mekayim mitzvos. It's a question of how you reconcile those two things. If the mace is wearing tzitzis, why do I have to tuck my tzitzis in? He's also wearing tzitzis. And what does it mean that the mace is actually wearing tzitzis? Different minhagim, whether they cut off the corner of the beged, even though he's wearing tzitzis, but is it without a kiyum, or it's just a lower level kiyum? Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda, talis shenikra chutz l'shalosh yitvar. If a talis gets torn more than three etzbaos away from the edge of the beged, you can sew it up, and you don't have to worry that the strings that are going to hang from the stitching are ultimately going to be used for the mitzvah of tzitzis, and that's going to be a violation of tasav l'manasu because it's so far off of the corner of the beged anyway. Toch shalosh lo yitvar, but if the tear is within three etzbaos of the edge of the beged, then you shouldn't sew it up because the loose strings might come to be used as for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tanya namia, and that would be a violation of tasav l'manasu. We learned from yesterday's daf. Tanya namia, he talish nikra chutz l'shalosh yitvar. A talis that gets torn chutz l'shalosh, you stitch it up. Toch shalosh within three etzbaos of the corner of the beged, Ramei Ram lo yitvar, Racham Ram yitvar. That's machlokas, Ramei and the Chacham, whether you stitch it up. V'shavin shlo yavi afilu ama alam v'makom achar bat cheles v'toleba. What you definitely can't do is bring a patch of other clothing that already has tzitzis hanging on it and then use it to patch up this beged. That's certainly tasav l'manasu, when it's prefab tzitzis made on the patch that you're then going to stick on to this beged. That's no good. V'shavin shemevi tcheles v'makom achar v'toleba. But everyone says that you're allowed to bring strings from somewhere else and put it on this this beged, right? Because that's not tasav l'manasu. That's the SCS at tzitzis. You're putting the strings directly on this beged. Uvad shalote mufsekes. Provided that the strings that you're putting on are complete strings, that they're not torn strings. Sham minam matirim mibeg lebeged. But what we do see from this last line, although Tos says that last line of shalote mufsekes, he has no idea what it adds. Of course, you're not supposed to put on torn strings. But what we see from this last halacha, that you're allowed to take tzitzis from somewhere else and put it on the beged, that you're allowed to remove tzitzis from one beged and put it onto another beged. Says Gemara, no, that's not a raya. Dilma di iblai. Maybe we're talking about the first beged was worn out and is no longer ra'i to use for the mitzvah. Then, of course, you're allowed to remove the strings from that beged and put it onto another beged. But it still hasn't solved the issue, which is a machlokas Rav and Shmuel that we're about to see, whether you're allowed to take tzitzis from a perfectly usable beged and put it onto a different beged. Tan Rabban, talis shekula tcheles. If you have talis that's entirely made of tcheles, kol minei tzivon potrim ba chutz mikala ilan. for the lavan strings, it doesn't have to be lavan. The only reason lavan strings have to be lavan is to match the beged, which is lavan. But if the beged is tcheles, for the lavan strings, you could use anything except for kala ilan. Meisvei talis ain't potter by elamina. We have a brisa that tells that talis only potters the same min. Talis shakula tcheles, maybe tcheles, v'davarach v'toliba. And the talis that's entirely tcheles, you could bring tcheles and anything else, and you know, combination of tcheles strings and any other strings, and hang it on the edge of the beged. V'kla ilan lo yavivi mevi kosher. Don't bring kala ilan, but it is kosher if you do bring it. So isn't this a stira? Over here we say that kala ilan is going to be kosher on a talis shakula tcheles. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo kasha. Kan betalis pas arba chutin, kan betalis pas shmona chutin. It depends. If you only have four strings on the talis, then it's fine to have two of them kala ilan, because you're going to leave them there, it's going to be fine. But if you have eight strings on the talis, then it's going to be a problem to have kala ilan, because you're going to remove some of them and you're going to assume they're tcheles, and you're going to use them as tcheles on another beged. But shamina matir mi beged lebeged. The whole thing is that we're concerned that you might move it to another beged, so apparently you're allowed to take strings from one beged and move it to another beged. Says Marana Dilma di Iavad. No, maybe we're saying if that were to happen, then you'd have this problem, but not that you're actually supposed to do that or even allowed to do that. Itmar, says Gemara, we have three machlokos between Rav and Shmuel. One of them relates to our discussion. Rav amar ein matir mi beged lebeged, Shmuel amar matir mi beged lebeged. Rav says you cannot take tzitzis from one beged and put it onto another beged. Shmuel says yes, you can. Second machlokas, Rav amar ein madlikin mi ner lener, Shmuel amar madlikin mi ner lener. Rav says you're not allowed to light one ner chanukah from the other ner chanukah. You got to use a shamish. And Shmuel says sure you can. You can light from one ner to the other ner. Rav Amar, third machlokas, ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'Greira. Rav says we do not paskin that davar sheinu miskavin is mutter. That Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you drag a bench on Shabbos, it might make a charetz, it might make a ditch. So Rav says, as Rabbi Shimon holds it's mutter because it's davar sheinu miskavin. Rav says we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon that davar sheinu miskavin is mutter. Shmuel Amar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'Greira, and Shmuel says yes, we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Abaye, kol mili demar avid k'Rav. He says, you know what these three machlokas Rav and Shmuel have in common? These are the only three machlokas Rav and Shmuel where we paskin like Shmuel. Every other one we paskin like Rav. And therefore, matirim mi beged lebeged, umadlikin mi ner lener, v'alacha krebishim begreira. All three. You can remove strings from one beged and move it to another beged. You can light one ner from another ner. And the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon that davar sheinu miskavin is mutter. Did Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Amar gori adam mita kisei v'safsal oblach lo yiskavin lasus charetz. A person can drag a bench as long as he doesn't have kavana to make a charetz. Obviously, the conditions of the ground and the weight of the bench are going to play a role. If it's a psik reshe, mod Rabbi Shimon be psik reshe. Rabbi Shimon agrees that if it's definitely going to happen, that it's going to create a hole in the ground, then Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's going to be aser, but it's only when it's a davar sheinu miskavein that it's going to be mutter. That's why the chronim raised the question: isn't every davar sheinu miskavein a suffik psik reshe? Meaning, why is it that it's a suffik whether it's going to make a hole in the ground or not? Because I don't know how to calculate the weight of the bench and the conditions of the ground, and you know, and what kind of effect that would have. So it's a suffik to me. But had I known, if I knew how to make the calculations, then I would know for sure. It either definitely is or it's definitely not going to make a hole in the ground. So that's what Rav Asher Weiss points out, that you have to say that the gedder of what's called the suffik psik reshe versus what's called davar sheinu miskavin is what a normal person could see, what a normal person could tell just by looking at the circumstances, by looking at the situation. Most people cannot make that calculation on the spot, and therefore it has the status of a davar sheinu miskavin. Rav Yehuda masulei the katsra. Rav Yehuda, when he would give his tzitzit to the dry cleaners to wash for him, and he wasn't concerned that they were going to remove the tcheles and replace it with kali ilan. Rav Chanina avodah sisa and Ravina chaylu mechat. They each had different tricks how to make sure that the strings wouldn't get ripped, that the tcheles strings wouldn't get ripped during the wash. One of them would like braid the strings together so it would become a more solid unit, and the other one made like a little pocket on the corner of his beged. I think they sell tzitzis like this where you could stick the tzitzis into the pocket when you wash it, so that the strings don't get ruined in the wash. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at Tanur Rabbanan.